it's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn. Coming up on the podcast today, President Trump ramping up his rhetoric on potential conflict with Iran. He actually said that we would end the country if they threaten us again.
I mean, I like it. Yeah. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, yeah. You like the feel of it. You like it in theory. I don't know if we like it in practice. There's also a British admiral that says the U.S. would need 1 million troops to successfully pacify Iran.
A little scary.
New abortion bill in Missouri has a cutoff of 8 weeks with no exceptions for rape or incest. So another heartbeat bill that's passed. There's about six of those right now and two others that have limited abortions in their states. But the right has been invigorated on this issue, and it's probably about time.
Yeah.
Also, we'll have Bernie Sanders. We talk about Bernie using the salaries of baseball players to push his agenda, compared them to teachers, which is just silly. We'll get into that. And a multi-billionaire announced that he's going to pay off the student loan debt of everybody at Morehouse College, which is like 400 students.
Yeah, for this year.
Right, for this year. But that's going to cost him like $40 million.
Look at that, though. I was really surprised at how much is owed for college tuition. That's amazing. Good for him.
Now let's see if he does it next year and the year after.
Because he's the government, right? I mean,
No, he's not, actually. Yeah, that's capitalism. And phone companies might be permitted to start blocking spam calls before they get to us. That would be great. That would be great. Awesome move by the FCC. That and much more coming up on the Glenn Beck Program today with Pat and Jeffy.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. 888-727-BECK is the number to participate today. President Trump took to Twitter and issued a threat against Iran with all this escalating tension between our two nations. He tweeted out, "If Iran wants to fight, that will be the official end of Iran."
Wow.
Never threaten the United States again. On the one hand, that feels pretty good. You know, because you get sick and tired of all of the rivers of blood will flow and all that stuff that comes out of Iran. And so to respond to that and tell them, look, everybody knows, we'll crush you if you start anything. It just feels good.
It does.
But I'm not.
However.
Yeah.
I want to throw in the big however.
However.
It does.
It feels good.
After you get over feeling good.
Yes.
You think, wait.
Do we want another war, and this time with Iran?
My answer to that would be no.
I think the answer is obviously no. Nobody wants that. And the president has said he doesn't want that. But when your rhetoric is such that, you know, you kind of escalate the tension a little bit, you bring us a little bit closer to war. There is an admiral... from the Navy, Admiral, is this Lord West? This is from the first Sea Lord of the Royal Navy, gave an assessment of the potential conflict. He told the Daily Star that the U.S. would need at least 1 million troops to successfully pacify Iran, and a half-baked attack could throw the whole region into further chaos. We've seen that before.
Yeah, we have.
We've seen that before. You would have to, I mean, if you're going to go to war with Iran, you got to commit. And I think he's right. You'd probably need 1 million troops or more. And you have to throw everything you've got at them. You can't do this halfway anymore. You can't just try to fight a politically correct war. You can't do it that way.
I don't know that we're willing to do that.
And that's the thing. Would we do it that way? No, we don't do it that way anymore. We don't do a World War II type of... war, and we haven't since World War II. That's why Korea just kind of stayed the same. That's why Vietnam, we left, and they poured right across the border and took over the whole country. That's why, you know, we had the kind of problems in Iraq and Afghanistan.
We pulled up short in Iraq, right?
Yeah. Yeah, every time. Every time. Because in order to commit wholeheartedly, you got to ignore, you have to ignore all of the people who say, innocent people are getting hurt. Well, yeah, they're going to. If you do this right, they're going to. You're going to have civilian casualties. You don't want to, but there are going to be civilian casualties, and there's going to be a lot of casualties on our side as well.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that we have the stomach for that anymore.
I don't know either. I don't know either. And I would like to say that, you know, maybe President Trump, if we were to ever have something like this happen, would be able to walk us through having that stomach again, but I don't think so. I don't think so.
That's a tall order.
It sure is.
According to Admiral Lord West, and again, this is, you know, from the British Royal Navy, so you take it with a grain of salt, I guess. But he said, I think Donald Trump himself doesn't want to be in conflict, but there are powerful factions in Israel, Saudi Arabia, and the U.S. who believe an attack would be a good thing. This includes John Bolton. They think they'd destroy the Iranian armed forces. There would be regime change, and all the garden would be rosy. Only problem with that is they'd be completely wrong.
Wow.
I think it would be messy.
I think it's going to be messier than it would be what messy. Anybody thinks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Iran's foreign minister has said he doesn't believe that war is going to break out either. So, I mean, at least they're trying to back down a little bit, too. I don't know that they believe it either.
They have to know, right, that they don't want war with the United States. They like to posture, and they like to bluster, and they like to talk about us as the great Satan, and that they destroy us in the great fire of jihad, right, or whatever.
But when it comes right down to it?
They know better. They know better. They have to, don't they? If they're sane at all, they have to know that. So that's what you count on, I guess, that cooler heads prevail. Because it would be nasty for both sides.
Yeah.
And neither side wants that kind of thing. I know we certainly don't.
No, we do not. No, we do not.
And apart from the Ayatollah, I think the military generals over there understand the realities of life, and that Donald Trump may just have a twitchy eye and a twitchy finger, and they better not mess. They better not push it any further. I hope. You just hope and pray that that's the case, and that cooler heads prevail. We'll see. 888-727-BECK. Also, President Trump, in addition to threatening Iran over the weekend, was opening fire on Representative Justin Amash. After Justin Amash issued a statement that the president is guilty of impeachable conduct. Now, I don't know that I agree with Justin Amash on that, but the president tweeted, never a fan of Justin Amash. Total lightweight who opposes me on some of our great Republican ideas and policies just for the sake of getting his name out there through controversy. I got to say, that's just not true. That's not Justin Amash. If he actually read the biased Mueller report composed by 18 angry Dems who hated Trump, he would see that it was nevertheless strong on no collusion and ultimately no obstruction. Anyway, how do you obstruct when there's no crime? And in fact, the crimes were committed by the other side. Justin is a loser who sadly plays right into our opponent's hands. we've talked about Justin Amash many times. He's a solid conservative and not a loser. Now, I don't agree with him that the president has done impeachable offenses, but neither do I agree with President Trump's assessment of Justin Amash here. Again, it's that thing where if you say anything about him, he's going to come after you.
Right.
If you say anything negative about Donald Trump, he's coming for you.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter who you are. He's coming for you. And so Amash is learning that.
Well, I mean, he put out there his principal conclusions, right? Justin Amash, Attorney mm-hmm. General Barr has deliberately misrepresented Mueller's report.
Yeah.
President Trump has engaged in impeachable conduct.
Yep.
Partisanship has eroded our system of checks and balances.
Right.
Few members of Congress have read the report.
And that's true.
Those
too.
Are his top four.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know that I agree with all of that.
Yeah, I don't either. And I don't know that Republicans need to be jumping into that chorus of let's impeach Donald Trump either. But that doesn't mean that Justin Amash is a loser, nor that he does all of this stuff just for publicity. That's not him.
No.
That's not him.
Certainly
he's
hasn't been.
Really solid conservative. Yeah, unless he's changed completely. I just wish it wasn't so, you know, if you can't disagree with this president without being an absolute enemy of him. You know, so nobody does. In the right. In the Republican Party and on the right, you just adopt his position on everything, whether his position is conservative or not, whether his position is correct or not. We have to adopt it, like the tariff thing. Look how many people are defending tariffs now all of a sudden. How did
pretty
that
amazing.
Happen? What do you mean tariffs are okay now? Since when? Well, since 2016, when Trump was elected.
Yeah. That's when they've been okay. And look, and Donald Trump is doing it right.
there's no right way to do tariffs.
No,
as far as
he's
I'm concerned.
Doing it correctly is what I'm saying.
I know that's what you're saying, but what I'm saying is there's no correct way to do a tariff. They just backfire on us every single time. Yeah, I mean, I'm just talking about every time. Other than that, though, you're right. He's doing them the right way. All right, 888-727-BECK. More coming up.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Hi, it's Glenn. If you're a subscriber to the podcast, can you do us a favor and rate us on iTunes? If you're not a subscriber, become one today and listen on your own time. You can subscribe on iTunes. Thanks.
It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn this week. Joe Biden out on the campaign trail, excoriating President Trump as America's divider in chief. Wow, did he ever listen to the guy he was vice president for during those 8 years?
No, I missed that.
Yeah, I think he did. I think he did. Talk about a guy who divided America. Barack Obama set race relations back 50 years.
At least 50
country.
Years.
Easy. Amazing. But Biden said, if the American people want a president to add to our division, to lead with a clenched fist, closed hand, hard heart, to demonize your opponents and spew hatred, they don't need me. They've got President Donald Trump. He's offering a different path. Folks. I love it when he refers to us as folks. I love that. I'm running to offer our country, Democrats, Republicans, and independents, a different path. Supposedly, he's taking a more moderate tone than the rest of the Democrat field. And he says he knows how to go toe-to-toe with the GOP, but it doesn't have to be. And it can't be that way on every issue. And 2 days before the president comes to Pennsylvania for a rally of his own, Biden sought to counter what might be the president's strongest reelection argument, the bright economic picture. So, of course, Biden's taking credit for the bright economic picture. He said it was given to him, just like he has inherited everything else in his life. And just like everything else he's been given in his life, he's in the process of squandering that as well.
Wow.
Okay, the economy was not like this when Obama and Biden were in office. They did not hand him a glowing economy. That is completely, it's a lie. It's just a lie.
Well, it was on the way.
No, it really kind of wasn't.
When they left, it was on the way. So it's been, what, 2 years now?
Yeah.
2.5
going
years?
Going on three now.
So it's perfect. That's the way they left it.
Sure.
Good then.
Sure. I mean, it's amazing. Obama, everything that was bad was Bush's fault. Everything that's good now is him. It's pretty amazing.
Sure is.
The giblets he's got to make that claim. It's amazing to watch. Also, Bernie Sanders talking about teacher salaries. And look, I think teachers should be paid more too. But here's what he had to say about teachers and comparing to professional athletes.
So if we are a nation that can provide contracts to baseball players for hundreds of millions of dollars, don't tell me we cannot pay teachers in this country the kind of wages and salaries they deserve.
Okay, that's you're comparing apples to oranges there. As one's got nothing to do with the other.
He knows it.
And he knows it. I mean, that's just a ridiculous comparison. So you're comparing these athletes who can do things in their sport that less than 1% of the people on this planet can do. And so, of course, that's going to be valuable. And the market, you know, dictates that.
Yes, it does.
You got millions of people watching them, millions of people over the course of seasons who go to these games, who pay ticket prices,
millions of people
buy merchandise.
Products. Yes, merchandise is strong.
I mean, come on. And then to compare that to teacher salaries, it's ridiculous. And would I love for teachers to make more? Yes, and I think they deserve it. But there's another dumb comparison from a dumb socialist. It's again agonizing to listen to. It really is. Then we've got AOC jumping all over the fact that this commencement speaker at a historically black college over the weekend surprised graduates.
Yeah.
By announcing he's going to pay off the student debt of the entire class of 2019.
Robert F. Smith. Mr. Philanthropist, billionaire. He's worth, I think, like $5 billion. Something like that.
Wow.
And he was speaking, and he decided in his speech that he was going to pay for this year's graduates' student loans.
Nice. So he's going to pay off everybody's debt. And that's about 400 kids. And they think that that'll be a total donation of about $40 million.
Think of that.
$40
million. I mean, think of that alone.
I mean, that's pretty sweet. And that's nice for you if you're in the class of 2019.
No kidding.
But then all of the socialists are jumping in, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and saying...
Because he was doing it on behalf of the government, right? He did it
on behalf of himself.
Really?
Yeah.
Money guy, that he earned?
Right.
In our capitalistic society?
Exactly.
The hated, dreaded United States of America?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Huh.
And so she said that that's... It's an opportunity to understand how student debt weighs down people. Well, then don't accrue student debt.
Right.
Here's an idea. Work during your high school years. Save money. Work during your college years. Pay off your college as you go. Pay as you go.
Been done before.
Millions of people have done it. And it's just not a thing anymore, I guess. It's not a thing that you can even ask of these kids. Hey, you know what you should do is get a job when you're in high school and save your money and pay for college yourself.
What?
How about that? Or, I don't know, get a job during college and pay for college yourself.
Yeah. And it's okay to, you know, hey, I can't afford to go right now. I'm going to go back to work and save some more money and then I'll go back to school.
Exactly. You don't have to accrue massive debt. You don't have to. I mean, if you choose to, well, then you understand what you're getting into. So stop whining about it because you knew what you were getting into. And if you insist on going to Harvard or Yale or Princeton, you're going to have massive debt once you're done. Pretty simple. Yeah. Unless your family's incredibly wealthy.
Right.
Or you got scholarships. Well, that's a different deal then. So, you know, this whole student debt thing is just... It's a silly discussion. Ocasio-Cortez also said people shouldn't be in a situation where they depend on a stranger's enormous act of charity. Well, then again, they should pay their way through school if they don't want to accrue the debt. Or here's another option for you. Go to a community college where it's pretty cheap.
How dare you?
And you can pretty easily pay for it. Go to a trade school. Go to a state university, heaven forbid. You know, there's some options there for you.
There are plenty of options. And look, nobody's complaining about the colleges who are charging more and more for their for their
nobody
studies.
Nobody ever even mentions
it. Not one time.
It's never the fault of the colleges who are charging outrageous tuition to the kids who come to the schools. I mean, look at Harvard. Harvard's got an endowment of almost $40 billion. $40 billion. They could pay the tuition with that endowment of every single student who goes to that school. They could all go free for the next 25 years with $40 billion. Are they going to do that?
No.
Why not? I mean, they've got the money. They could easily do that if they're so altruistic. Let's see it. Put up the money or shut up or lower your tuition.
That's an idea. But they don't need to lower their tuition, right? Because it's guaranteed that they're going to get their money.
Right. And nobody's complaining about their tuition. Except that when they have student debt, but nobody complains to Harvard about that. They complain to the government about that. And this is a fantastic example of capitalism.
It sure is.
This Robert Smith, who put up his own $40 million to pay off this student. That's exactly how capitalism should work. He made all that money. He wanted to do something really nice with it. And he did.
He didn't have to.
Right. And it wasn't the government that paid it off.
He could have walked away with his honorary doctorate and said, hey, good luck, God bless. Mm-hmm. I'm out. I'm going to go back to my yacht. He probably still did that anyway.
Probably. Because $40 million to a guy who has $5 billion is nothing. That's like $40 to you and me. I donated $40.
I'm going to give you a little kick in the butt, you know, to help you out here for your tuition. There's $40.
But I mean, it's commendable. It's really cool that he did that.
It's great.
He'd already pledged like $1.5 million to the school. So it's nice. It's nice of him. He didn't have to do that.
No, he didn't.
And I'm sure he does a lot of other charitable work as well. So that's what capitalism is all about. That's capitalism at its best. Somebody who earned the money and they, of their free will, wanted to help others. That's really cool. Good for him. And good for these students.
I probably could have paid it in taxes. Probably could have just given that money to the government and said, hey, do what you want with it.
Exactly.
But he decided that what I want to do with it is better.
Yeah. It'll go to the people he intends it to go to rather than being squandered by the government.
Yes.
888-727-BECK. We'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to the Best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program this week. Responding to widespread consumer complaints, the FCC now says it will take steps to give phone companies permission to block unwanted robocalls. It's about time.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I hate these calls. And I don't even answer my cell phone that much. But every time I do... It's some stupid robocall from China. I hate it. Americans get billions of unwanted phone calls every year. It's the number one complaint received by the FCC. Number one. But carriers have long been wary of blocking robocalls for fear of breaking the regulators' call completion rules. So the FCC has had this rule that you have to complete calls that are made. And make sure that calls that are made reach their intended recipient, which makes sense. Until now, with all of these, you know, and every time you block a call, it just rolls over to the next one.
Another number.
And then you block that one, rolls over to another number, and you just keep getting these things. Anytime.
I don't answer.
If I don't know the number, I don't answer. Yeah, me too.
My rule of thumb is if I don't know the number, I don't answer. Leave me a voicemail. I'll call you back.
Right, and they do. They leave voicemails.
I very rarely get a voicemail.
It pisses me off. It drives me out of my. The only thing worse than getting these robocalls. Maybe. other than grocery store clerks that want to make small talk.
Oh, stop.
When you bring your it. All of your food up to there, and then they start asking you about the food items
they
you brought.
Just want to be friendly.
No, I don't want them to be friendly. I'm not here to be friendly. I'm just here to make a purchase and get out the door, okay? I don't want to tell you about the items I'm purchasing and what I'm going to do with them. I don't want to talk about that. I know you do. I understand
just creating a little conversation, a little repertoire between
I don't want
you
a repertoire. If I wanted a repertoire, I'd live in France. That's not where I live, is it? Repertoires aren't just something I do here in America. So don't ask me about my weekend. Don't ask me about my purchases. If I'm having a party, why I've got steak and ice cream, that's none of your business. Okay. Because I'm going to stuff my face, and it's really none of your business what I'm doing with the ice cream, okay? So I hate that almost as much as the spam calls. And then the solicitation at home. Is that something you're fine with, too?
Well,
you get solicited?
No. I do get that, and no. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. If I want your product or your magazine, I'll order it online, or I'll go to the store.
But you might not know about it. I mean, I understand what, you know.
I don't. And especially in most neighborhoods, certainly in mine, there's no soliciting allowed. And there's continual solicitors in my neighborhood all the time.
That sign didn't mean every house, did it?
Yeah, every house. Every house in this area. No soliciting.
Well, I thought I was out of the area.
Don't come here and tell me about your bug spray. Or your roofing.
My favorite line.
I don't want any of it.
The great line that they use, many of them use to try to get in, is, we do the spray for your neighbor down the street.
Yes, they always say that.
And, I mean, that's a great.
Yeah, which one?
Yeah, you know, down the street, you know, Bill.
A couple
Bill
doors down.
The street. They say the first name, Bill, down the street. Like nobody knows Bill
right.
down the street.
I have no idea.
Rarely today do everyone know their neighbors right around the block.
Right.
So if you say, you know, Bill around the corner is a big fan of us, and we want you to join in too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, great. Well, come on and sit down. Have a cup of tea.
Yeah, that still will not get them an invite. No, I'm not. Sorry.
No, thank you.
We're good.
Thank you.
We're good. You know what? I just replaced my roof last week.
Every once in a while, I'm in the mood to hear the pitch, just to hear it.
Really?
Yeah, just let me hear it. Go ahead. Really, what do you got?
I'm never in that mood.
Because I'm still able to say
no.
Yeah. It's okay. Just want to hear the pitch.
And you, a lot of times it's magazines. Like, I'm going to order a magazine while you're standing here at the door.
I didn't even know they existed anymore, to be honest with you.
Sometimes it's magazines. Sometimes it's, a lot of times it's roofing.
Yeah, a lot of roofing.
And or bug spray.
A lot of roofing, a lot of pest control.
Pest control, yeah.
A lot of yard work.
Yard work.
Yeah, a lot of yard work coming around. I mean, big time. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got to make a living.
I guess so.
They got to come around trying to make a living.
No, not at my house. No. Don't solicit me at my house. I don't like that. I don't like it. Well, but which
mean,
is
they
worse?
Tried to get you at the grocery store. You wouldn't listen to them.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
You wouldn't listen to them there.
And so they followed me home.
I tried to.
I think that's stalking. And I think that's illegal, too. So,
and you can't do anything anymore.
I don't want any of it. But is it worse to get the spam calls, the solicitation at home, or the obnoxious store clerks asking you about your purchases? Of course, you love that. I mean, you love.
It's just fun.
It's not fun.
It's just fun.
It's really not. To most human beings, it's just not fun. We're in a hurry. We're in a bad mood.
If you're in a hurry, well, that's fine.
In a bad mood. Just say, I don't want to talk to you about my purchases.
That's fine. Just say, hey, you know, I'm in a hurry. I just want to check out. And they'll leave you be?
No, I'm not going to say that.
Why? Why?
It's kind of rude.
I'm in a hurry. I just want to be.
It's kind of rude.
Oh.
I'm in a hurry. Oh. I just want to be left alone.
I'm in a hurry. I just want
to. Don't talk to me. No, I'm not going to say that.
I'm in a hurry.
That.
I just want to get out. And they'll leave you be.
You're not going to say that. That's worse than just being, you know, quiet. That's worse, I think.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is.
Just quiet. I mean, that's like, did you hear me? Are you deaf?
No, I would say, yeah. Something like that. You know, something along those lines.
Oh, that's
a
nicer.
Grunt
that's
or two.
Nicer, yeah.
Yeah, the grunt is nicer.
I'm just in a hurry.
Definitely.
I just want to get
out. The grunt is by far nicer. then I'm in a hurry. Just leave me alone.
Not leave me alone, but I'm in a hurry. I just want to check out and get out of here.
So anyway, these illegal robocalls, often containing recordings of scammers posing as a government agent. Have you ever gotten the IRS calls? Those are interesting too.
First of all, I just want to be on the record of saying that I love the IRS.
I know you do.
We all love
the IRS. IRS. We love the mob because we don't want to be killed by either one of them. but they will call as the IRS and they will threaten you. Like this is the, I don't know. This is a multiple times we've tried to get a hold of you. And you owe back taxes or whatever the case may be, and you need to call us right away. And then there's some scam that if you do call them, you get charged. I don't know exactly how that works.
Some of the spam calls that are infecting your phones and the internet. There was one spam call that they went through not long ago that they didn't even have to pick up. Usually you have to pick up. For it to infect your phones. The latest one that they said infected like a billion and a half people was they just called. If they called your number, you were infected.
Really?
It was bad. Yeah.
Wow.
They have to stop somehow.
And what
they
got
to stop it somehow.
Due to the phone. What? How did it?
It blew them all up. People had blown up phones.
It blew them up.
People.
Wow. Right in their pocket. It just exploded.
Hasn't been reported or anything.
No, that hasn't.
Millions of phones.
You would think a billion and a half phones blowing up in people's pockets would be.
I'm trying to think. The story was that the phones were infected, but then nothing. They were saying that it wasn't used for anything yet.
Hmm.
Before they stopped it, but I mean,
wow. That's
still,
weird.
Yeah,
it's weird. Another one of the calls I always get is from the I think they call it the insurance department, and your warranty, your long-term warranty is about to expire on your car, on your vehicle.
Yes.
That drives
That's a
me
big one.
Out of my mind. Out of my mind. No, I know that I purchased an extended warranty, and I know that it's not expired yet. So,
or I didn't purchase
nice
one,
try.
It's not.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way it is.
But Ajit Pai said the commission has scheduled a June 6th vote on a measure that would assure phone companies that blocking unwanted calls won't run afoul of FCC rules. The agency said it would enable phone companies to analyze their network traffic to spot and block robocalls. Good!
Yeah, no kidding.
They could let customers create so-called white lists of approved callers and block all other incoming calls. That would be fantastic.
No kidding.
Because the do not call list that we used to have, I don't even know if that's in force anymore. Do you remember doing that, though?
I do. I remember when it was such a big deal. Mm-hmm. I remember when it was such a big deal. All you got to do is call them.
Right. And then we got so many spam calls on our landline, we just turned it off eventually. And then so...
Yeah, I don't even... We actually have a landline because
it was
cheaper to get the line through the cable company.
Right.
And it isn't really a landline anymore.
Bundled.
Yes.
Yes. You get a better rate.
Okay, fine.
All right.
We're not hooking it up.
And we just turned it off.
Yeah.
Because we got nothing but spam on it.
Yeah.
And so once we turned that off, now our cell phones get nothing but spam
right.
on that. Oh, that's great.
Amazing.
I love it. 888-727-BECK. It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and I want to tell you about something that you should either end your day with or start your morning with, and that is The News and Why It Matters. If you like this show, you're going to love The News and Why It Matters. It's a bunch of us that all get together at the end of the day and just talk about the stories that matter to you and your life. The News and Why It Matters. Look for it now wherever you download your favorite podcast.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.